So great for us all to be together. Thank you so much for tuning in that we can encourage one another and look to the Lord. This morning, I'm going to be talking about four prayers that can change your life. Now, I love and I hate this title, but I guess there's no one to blame because I picked it out myself. I love it because I really do believe these prayers, they've helped me in my life, and I think they really can help each of you, especially during this tumultuous time. I don't like it because, you know, in our world all the time on TV, there's things that are claiming they'll change your life, eat this food, and you'll lose all this weight, and you'll be healthy, and so there's a lot of things like this, and I don't want you to take this as just one more thing where somebody's kind of overselling it. I definitely don't want to be overselling it. It makes me think when I was a child, when their Nike shoes, or actually it was in high school, later in high school, I had a coach that used to say, made us, for our football team, everybody had to have white leather shoes for football, for our football team. And because he used to say, everybody knows you just run faster in white shoes. So we all wore them and we believed it for some reason. Yeah, we run faster. I guess that's changed. I see a lot of athletes now wearing black shoes. Somehow they didn't get the memo, I guess. But I think, too, of then when Michael Jordan started playing and Nike came out, everybody started wearing Nike shoes. And I remember wearing them and thinking, I'm going to play better because I wear Michael Jordan Nike shoes. But, you know, that's not the case. It didn't really work out that way. They kind of overpromised. Or I think I told the story before. I grew up in Cincinnati during the time of the Big Red Machine. And one of the players that went to the Hall of Fame was Joe Morgan, the second baseman. And when he used to bat, he used to stand like this, and he would pump his back arm like this all the time. Well, every one of my friends, and if you went to the Little League games and even high school games, I mean, most of the players would do that in Cincinnati, pump their arm, because we thought if we did that, we'll be more like Joe Morgan. We'll be more like a Hall of Fame. We'll play better like a Hall of Fame baseball player. But sadly, that really wasn't the case. They overpromised. And it brings up this question, or somebody said, you know, you're not going to play like Michael Jordan just by wearing his shoes. You have to take on his entire training regimen, year after year, day after day, hours of work and preparation if you want to be like Michael Jordan. And so in the same way, I don't want to oversell these prayers like these are the keys to the Christian life and are going to change everything. This is the key. And once you do these prayers, everything's going to be great. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Spirit of the Discipline, said, just like with the Jordan illustration, if you want to live like Jesus, you need to take on his entire training regimen. You need to take on his entire lifestyle and spend time with the Father like he did. Know God's word like he did. Love people like he did. Spend time with people. All the things that he did in life we need to take on. And so I want to encourage you, while these are not the keys to the Christian life, there is no one key. But while I don't want to oversell this, I don't want to undersell it, I do believe that these prayers, they really have made a difference in my life. And I'm really excited to share these and encourage you with them. So as we look at these, the first prayer might shock you. It's so simple. I actually heard this prayer. I was at a youth camp, and the pastor shared this with high schoolers. This prayer, he said, while you're at this camp, every day you have to pray this prayer. What's this amazing prayer? Well, it really is an amazing one, but it's very simple. Good morning, Lord. And the reason I think this is such an amazing prayer, such an important prayer, is I think God gets a lot of pleasure from this prayer. When first thing in the morning, the first thing when we wake up is say, good morning, Lord. Our desire to want to connect with God, to start our day with him. And then it's the idea that it's not just good morning, Lord, and then we get on with our life, but we're going to take him with us throughout the entire day. Jesus said that we're to abide in him. Let his words abide in us. And that word abide is the word, same word for to live or to remain. So Jesus wants us to live in him, to be in him, to remain in him the entire day. Sometimes we have this concept, we're told we need to have a devotional time in the morning. And then sometimes we have that and then we get on with the rest of our day and we forget God the rest of the day. That's not the idea of the devotional time. It's to prime the pump to get us connected with God right away and to carry that through the day. It's like when you prime a water pump. You get that first bit of water going and then the rest just continues to flow. Or like a siphon when you're siphoning gas. You got to suck on the tube and hopefully don't get in your mouth. And you get that first little bit going and then you stick it in the bucket and it just keeps coming. And that's the idea of this prayer is, it's Lord, I want to start my day with you and I want to keep you in my life throughout this entire day. So it really is an important prayer. I think it pleases God because it says to God, God, you're number one in my life. The first thing I want to do in my day is connect with you. So it really is an important and significant prayer. We see it in the Bible, in the Psalms 59, but I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Then also there was a song made of this, Psalm 5. I don't know if it's an older song by the Maranatha Singers. And I didn't realize this, but it's straight out of Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. They sing it word for word out of the King James Version. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. And I don't know if you remember the main part of the song. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So the psalmist is praying to God right from the morning. First thing they do is they said, I'm going to pray to you, God, and I'm going to look up. So that's really what this prayer is all about. And as I think of it too, you know, sometimes we wake up late or we sleep through our alarm, whatever. We rush off to work. We get to work and we're busy. And it's not till 11 o'clock. I've had this happen many times. Not till 11 o'clock and I realize, wow, I haven't had one thought today about God. And I'll stop and I'll just say, good morning, Lord. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, but I'm just now getting around to say hi to God. But the beautiful thing about God is my sense is always that I feel the pleasure of God. He's glad that, yeah, it's a little late, but I'm glad you wanted to connect with me. And often I just say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry that I got up late and I didn't spend time with you. I didn't think to pray on the way to work, whatever. And I just sense his pleasure that I've come to him. I mean, it's like with my kids. We're all at home, but some mornings this week, I didn't see them till later in the morning. And, you know, Kia might come in and say, hey, Dad. You know, I don't say, wow, it's about time you said hello. No, I say, hey, good morning, Kia. It's great to see you. That's how God is. He delights when his children come to him. So I encourage you, make this prayer one of yours, especially during this time, that you'll make the habit of beginning your day trying to connect with God and then carrying that relationship throughout the day. Well, hopefully everyone has, through worship, has done that. But if you haven't, just pause right now. And would you just practice saying that prayer? Just say it to God, just to yourself. Good morning, Lord. Do you get that sense of his pleasure when you come to him and say, I want to connect with you? Please continue with that each day. Now, the second one, prayer, is the Why, Lord, prayer. And it's a fascinating prayer because it's so biblical. We don't think it is often, but it is. And actually, I think what this prayer is really saying is, Lord, it feels like this. It's sharing with God what we're feeling. And the beautiful thing is we see this all throughout Scripture. We're going to look at Psalm 10, 42, 44, and Psalm 88. I'm just going to go through them quickly, but I'd encourage you to study these verses and look at them more, to really analyze them and see, yeah, wow, look at what these psalmists, the way they pray to God. Because I don't hear many people praying to God like they did. And I think you'll see what I'm talking about. In Psalm 10, the psalmist is talking, lamenting to God about their situation. Verse 15, he says this, "Lord, why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Have you ever heard anybody pray that in church? I haven't. But the psalmist does it. But the really interesting thing here is in almost all of these psalms, we're going to look at the last few verses. And in this psalm, it's verses 16 and 17. Listen what happens as the psalmist is just honest with God about how he's feeling. Okay? In verse 16, "The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from this land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror." So though he's struggling, he starts by saying, "God, why are you so far away from me during this time of trouble? Why are you hiding from me, God? I need you here. I can't find you because you're hiding." So he's expressing some concerns about God, where is he? But he ends up by affirming, "The Lord is king forever and ever." And it's interesting, we see this pattern again. It's Psalm 42, in verse 10, up to there, again, the psalmist is kind of lamenting his situation. Gets to verse 10, he says, "God, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning and oppressed by the enemy?" All right, how many times have you heard that prayer in church? "God, why have you forgotten me? Why are you letting me be oppressed? And why do you allow me to go about in mourning?" But then what happens? The last verse of the psalm, what does the psalmist say? "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." So there's this, by him being so honest with God about what he's feeling, there's this spark of hope that comes out. And the interesting thing is, you know, you can't hide your feelings from God. Somehow we think, we get mad at God, we feel like he's forgotten us, that he's making us mourn or be oppressed. So I'm not going to talk to God. I'm not going to let him know what I'm feeling. Well, that's ridiculous when we think about it. If God knows what we're thinking, we can't hide it from him. But somehow we foolishly try to do that. And it just causes us to wander from God. And maybe during this time, people are going through a loss of finances, concerns for their health. Some people may be feeling this. "God, have you forgotten about us? Have you forgotten about me and my financial needs?" I'd encourage you, if that's in your heart, God knows that already. So share it with him and work it out with him. And I think you'll find most of the time, like the psalmist, some hope will spring up as you're honest with God. Let's look at Psalm 44. Now, this one's a doozy. The psalmist starts, lamenting until verse 24, where he says, "Awake, God, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression?" All right, how many times have you heard that one in prayer? I mean, that one in church. "God, wake up. Why are you sleeping?" Well, that's a pretty bold prayer, isn't it? To accuse God of sleeping and telling him to wake up. Wow. But what do we see in the final verse of the chapter? "We're brought down to the dust. Our bodies cling to the ground. Rise up and help us. Rescue us because of your unfailing love." Again, as he's honest with God, this hope springs up within him about God's unfailing love. So I said, generally, this is the pattern that we see. But I want to share one more with you that's of particular interest to me. Psalm 88. Again, the psalmist is recounting his troubles and the troubles of the nation. He gets to verse 14 and says, "Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I've suffered and been close to death. I've borne your terrors and I am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend." Wow, that is a powerful phrase, isn't it? Darkness is my closest friend. Reminds me of the famous song from the 70s by Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel. I wonder if they'd been reading their Bible when they composed that song. It starts by saying, "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again." Right from the Bible. What an amazing sentence. Darkness is my closest friend. In this one, the psalmist doesn't really end on a hopeful note, does he? Wow, no. Darkness is my closest friend. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. So yeah, this one, and I really appreciate that this about scriptures, that the Bible is just realistic about life. And we see from these other psalmists, often when we'll just be really honest with God, that process of interacting with God will remind us of the hope that we have, will remind us of the love, and it buoys us up. But Psalm 88, it doesn't. This one ends and the psalmist is still devastated. But that's like life. It makes me think Juan wrote a beautiful letter in The Gate this week. I hope you get a chance to read it. If you haven't, please go back and look at it. And he was, like these psalmists, he was just really honest about life. And he was talking about, lately even, it's been hard for him. He's been thinking about 10 years ago when feeling sad about remembering the loss of his wife. It's 10 years later, and it still hurts. It still stings. But he's being like the psalmist here. That's life, isn't it? There are some things that sting, that hurt, that loss, it remains a long time. That is the reality of life. But God, even though the psalmist, all of these psalmists, they share so honestly with God. But the beautiful thing is, in these passages, there's no condemnation from God. God doesn't judge them for saying what he already knows is on their heart. If we were saying these in church today, you know, "God, why are you hiding from me? Why have you rejected me? Why are you sleeping, God?" I think if somebody prayed that in church next to me, I'd think I would like step over because I don't want to be hit by the bolt of lightning that's going to destroy them. That's kind of the way we think about it, isn't it? Man, you pray a prayer like that, you're in trouble. You know, I mean, we get that from our youth. You know, you question your mom and dad by asking why. You know, they're not going to like that a whole lot. But God is our loving Heavenly Father. He loves it when his children just come to him. And to be honest, that's how we like it. If our child is upset with us, we don't want them clamming up and not saying anything to us. No, we hope that they'll come to us. Let's talk about it. Let's be in relationship. That's what God wants. So if that's the case for you, maybe you've been clamming up with God because of the situation of the world now and your circumstances seem bleak. Let me encourage you. Just be brutally honest with God. He already knows what you're feeling. And he doesn't reject us when we talk frank with him. And that's how God is. You know, I was thinking about this. God is not like a mixed martial arts fighter or a boxer who's trained that when you hit your opponent and you stun them, that at that moment you need to give everything to continue your attack and to knock them out while they're stunned. That's the way a boxer is trained. You stun your opponent, go for it, knock them out. That is not how God operates at all. God is the opposite. He has a special place in his heart for the wounded, for the hurting, for the discouraged, for the poor in spirit. God's heart goes out to them. And this reminded me, I was just thinking about this the other day. Does anybody know what organization this was the old logo for? If you do, type it in. Let's see. Tell me who writes in and remembers this. I was a little disappointed because I found out they've changed their logo. I love this logo, and it's perfect for this organization. Anybody, you guys got any idea who this was? All right, we got a 15-minute delay, so it may take longer for our audience. But what about you guys? Any ideas? Okay, well, Prison Fellowship. That was started by Chuck Colson. He was put in prison during the Watergate era. He was considered Nixon's hatchet man. He was sent to prison for, 7 months in the federal prison. And during that time, he came to the Lord. And out of that, he wrote the book Born Again, and he had amazing transformation. And he started, while in prison, he saw so many prisoners languishing. And so he started this wonderful ministry called Prison Fellowship to help prisoners grow in the Lord and come to know the Lord and to help their families. It's a beautiful ministry. But I love their logo. What in that logo, does it bring any verse to mind? What's it represent? Look closely at it. Do you get it? Okay, yeah, it's wheat, but what verse?
It's like Isaiah, the broken bone.
Yes, very good. Okay, Isaiah 42:3, a bruised reed God will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And that was a prophecy in Isaiah about the coming Messiah, Jesus. And so it's affirmed in Matthew 12 that was spoken of regarding Jesus, that he doesn't bruise. A bruised reed he doesn't break. A smoldering wick, a little candle that's just about to go out, God doesn't go psh and put it out. The person that's hurting, that's down, God doesn't just finish them off. No, there's the opposite. God has a special place. He won't break the bruised reed. He'll bring healing and comes to those that are hurting. That's how God is. So that's why it's important we take our hurts to him. Because he is so compassionate. So all these prayers, they accuse God of being far off, from hiding, from sleeping, rejecting them. But God doesn't judge them. So I would encourage you, just as for sake of application, that this week you begin making that your prayer, being honest with God. Why is this going on, Lord? Or more, sharing your feelings. God, I feel so frustrated. It seems like you're this. It seems like you've forgotten me. Whatever it is, be honest with God, and he'll meet you in that place. Now, the third prayer. Okay, I'm going to read this prayer. And oh, did we get any responses? Any right answers? No? Okay, come on, people. Wake up out there. I'm going to give you another chance. All right, I'm going to read this prayer. And I want you to tell me what part is missing, okay? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, very common prayer we've heard many times. Anybody catch what I left out? And I got my four men, gentlemen in my audience here. Come on, guys. What did I leave out?
With Thanksgiving.
With Thanksgiving. Very good, Matt. Okay. Yes. What it should be is don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful prayer. It's a really useful prayer. It's saying if you're anxious about things, during this time, a lot of people are anxious about a lot of different things. And this prayer says, don't be anxious. Instead, present your requests. The things that are making you anxious, bring them to God with thanksgiving. And I think that's so important. That's often what we leave out. And then it says, God will give you, he'll guard your hearts and your mind. He'll give you his peace, which transcends all understanding. It's his supernatural peace that he gives us. It's a wonderful promise. But we have to do it with thanksgiving. And I remember a time in China took me a long time to learn this and begin to do this. But there was a time in China, I think I shared about this before, as I remember, there was a time when we had to go and got interrogated by the police. It looked like we were going to get kicked out because of the short-term team that we'd hosted, and they were found with some materials they were going to pass out in a village, and it looked really bleak for us. And it was around that time that I remember seeing this for the first time, or my eyes opened up, this idea of with Thanksgiving. So I remember Helen and I sat down. I remember we were in our office, which was in the hallway of our house, and I said, let's pray. And I said, Lord, thank you for this situation, because, and I know it was at least 20 seconds. It felt like an hour. I was trying to think of, what is there to give thanks for? This is a horrible situation. And I thought, and I thought, and I thought, and then finally it came to me, Lord, thank you for this situation. It makes me rely upon you and realize that I don't control everything in my life. And it makes me realize how much I need your help, God. And so I would encourage you, think of something in your life. What is something that's been causing you anxiety? Have you tried to thank God for it? And I want to talk about some of the things James says that when we face trials of many kinds, that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. That idea of testing of our faith is this idea of purifying gold. When you heat it up, the dross comes out, the unwanted part, the impurities come out. In the same way, God allows trials in our lives so that our faith is made stronger. The impurities are removed from it. So we can thank God for that. Thank you for this trial, God, that it's going to, or it has the potential to strengthen my faith as I respond properly to it. And that same verse talks about it builds perseverance, builds toughness in us, that we can keep going even when things are difficult. We can keep trusting in God even when we don't see his intervention yet at that point. We can thank God for his promise. He says in the Great Commission, he says, and lo, I'll never leave you to the very end of the age. We know he's always with us. His Spirit's with us. Lord, thank you for this trial that just reminds me that you're still with me, that you're with me. And his Spirit promised that it will direct us and guide us. We can thank God for that in the midst of hardship and difficulty. And then, as I said, we can be reminded that we're limited. God, this health scare that I've had, this issue, Lord, I come to you. Thank you for allowing this to remind me that I can't control everything in my life. Lord, I need your healing. I need you to use these doctors to help me. Help me, Lord. So it drives us back to God. So there are things we can be thankful for. And the scripture commands us to not be anxious, but to present our requests to God with thanksgiving. So take a moment here. In your life, what's something you've been anxious about recently? Think about it right now. Okay. Yeah, I've been worrying about that. Now, I want you to just take a moment right now and silently pray to God and tell him, Lord, thank you for this problem because. And then reply with one or more reasons. Do that right now. Pray and thank God for that trial. Amen. And I've found that when I do that, it really does begin changing my attitude. And it reminds me that God is sovereign. God is in control. And that he alone is able to use difficult things, things that seem hopeless and bad. He's able to bring good out of them like no one else is, because he's the one true God. And this brings us to our fourth and final prayer. Lord, what do you want to say to me regarding whatever? And again, it's this idea of, so often we'll have a problem. I've found this true in my life. We'll have a problem and I'll talk to my wife about it. I'll talk to friends about it, other people. And I'll talk and talk. Or maybe I'll just stuff it. I don't talk to anybody about it. All right. And then I realized one day, wow, this has really been bothering me, this problem, but I've never talked to God about it. Sometimes we'll talk to everybody else but God. And I've just found this prayer is really helpful to me. Often I have to start it by saying, by repenting and say, God, forgive me. I don't know what I was thinking, why I didn't bring this to you earlier, why I didn't talk to you about it earlier. But Lord, this is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling. Help direct me. God, what should I do? And then to wait on him. And often he'll bring a scripture to mind, or several scriptures. Or sometimes he'll bring a picture or give us some sense of what we're to do, an impression about something. And all, of course, we always need to test those, make sure that aligns with Scripture. If somebody's offended us and we say, God, what should I do? And we say, get revenge, is what we hear. Oh, I think God wants me to get revenge. Well, we know Scripture says, no, we're not to do that. So we know that's not his plan. So we need to test it against Scripture. But the important thing is taking to God all the things in our life. And I recently shared this with our men's group, that for the last, I don't know, over the years, it's been, this happened 40 years ago when I was like a junior in high school. My English teacher, Mrs. Stewart, I had this teacher for three quarters, and the fourth quarter we got a new, our old teacher left and retired or something happened. And they brought in a brand new teacher right out of college, Mrs. Stewart, and she was really gung-ho. And I remember she was hard, too. And I had gotten high A's the first three quarters, but the last quarter I just missed getting an A, got a high B. And I was applying to colleges, and I was wanted my GPA to be as high as possible. And she gave me, for the year, she gave me a B. I had three A's and a B, and I got a B. I said, that's not right. I got three A's and my B was a high B. She said, I'm sorry, but my system is, you know, if you go from an A to a B down, I give you the lower grade. So your first half of the year, you got an A. Second half of the year, you went from an A to a B. So I gave you a B for the second half. And so for the year, you went from an A to a B. So you get a B. And I was like, well, that's not fair. I got three A's. They were high A's. How can you give me a B? My grade point's going to suffer. I may not be able to get into these colleges I want to go to. And so, well, whatever. But over the years, there have been different times. And even like 3 months ago, one day I was sitting there, and this memory came up, and I started getting really worked up about it. Man, that was real. That's still unfair. 40 years later, I'm still angry about that. You know, and my disposition is turning, you know, ugly, and I'm all mad about that. Yeah, that wasn't fair. Man, life is so unfair sometimes. And then I stopped. And for the first time in 40 years, I had the thought, maybe I should tell God about this. I had, in 40 years, I'd never thought about doing that. And so I stopped and I asked God, God, is there anything you want to say to me about that incident? And I got this really clear sense that he was saying to me, Wade, if 40 years ago, you were a believer then, if you would have prayed and asked me what you should do about it, I would have given you direction. And my spirit, I really felt grieved, and I that, wow, all these years I hadn't gone to God. And so I just confessed. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I believe that's true. You promised to guide and direct me through every situation. Forgive me, God, for not bringing that situation to you. And I felt his forgiveness, and I've not had feelings about that issue anymore. So I would encourage you, whatever it is in your life, if you've had some hard things, it's probably a good chance. It seems like most of us, some reason, we don't bring those to God. So let me encourage you that you would do it, whatever that hurt or situation is that's been bothering you, causing you to be discouraged or lose hope. Talk to God about it. Ask him to speak to you. I think you'll find that he's ready and wanting to bring encouragement and help to you. And he'll minister to you through his word and bring scriptures to mind to help you. I found out, forgot, we're not allowed to do music over the internet, except for Christian songs. But there's a secular song by Stevie Wonder that I just want to encourage you to play maybe later today. It's called "Have a Talk with God." Many of you have heard it before. It's a pretty funky song. It's got a crazy harmonica piece in it. But listen to what he says in this song. In the second verse, he says, "Many of us feel we walk alone without a friend, never communicating with the one who lives within, forgetting all about the one who never lets you down, and you can talk to him anytime. He's always around. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God." That's good theology there. All right. And the last verse, he says, "He's the only free psychiatrist that's known in all the world for solving problems of all men, women, little boys, and girls. When you feel your life's too hard, just go have a talk with God. When your load's too much to bear, just go talk to God. He cares. If you think your life's too hard, go and have a talk with God." That is good theology. And I want to encourage you, through these prayers that we've been talking about, that you would begin to say, "Good morning, Lord. Why, Lord? Or, Lord, it feels like I've been feeling like this. Lord, thank you for this difficulty. Lord, what do you want to say to me regarding," especially that last one, I encourage you, later today, take some time to get away and take some time to ask God about some situation in your life that you've been bothering you, but you've never brought before him. Because God does care. Scriptures say, "Cast your burdens onto Jesus, for he cares for you." He really does. And during this time of uncertainty, people are experiencing financial loss, a loss of jobs, concerns about their health. Oh, there's just so many things we could be anxious about. But my prayer is that we'll use this, and God will use this time of difficulty and trial to cause us to have more and more deeper fellowship with Christ and to look to him more and more, coming to him in prayer, to fellowship with him and to be strengthened and helped by him. Let's pray. Lord, that's our prayer, that we'd start our day with "Good morning, Lord," and we would try to walk throughout the whole day with you, Lord. And when we forget and we get distracted, that we just come back and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I got distracted. Lord, let me walk with you." So, Lord, help us, because we're feeble and weak and we often get distracted and get our priorities mixed up. But, Lord, thank you that you delight in using people that are weak and feeble enough to lean upon you. So help us, Lord. Help us to pray continually to you and to live in you, to abide in you, that we can bring pleasure to you with our relationship with you. Thank you that you're a heavenly Father and you delight in us, your children. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just want to remind also that we'll have some questions posted if afterwards. Last week, our family, after the sermon or the service was done, we sat around and discussed some of the discussion questions, and it was really a helpful time. So those will be in the comment box if you'd like to do that afterwards.